Okay, we're discussing Jim's dream slash vision that he had last night while sleeping and told me about it initially when he, first woke up this morning. And I'm going to ask him some questions, and he's going to tell me kind of how it happened and what he remembers about the dream. So start by telling me the visual that you were thought you saw looking at it in the dream.
Okay, so in the dream, I saw that what looked like a wall. The only thing I can think of is liquid or water, but much thicker, almost like gelatin-like. And that's where the things that we think of, like a space station or other objects that are filming back onto Earth, that's where they actually were, in this like substance that's above, I mean not above, but actually to the side, not straight up. So I had of course a bunch of questions, and in the dream they all came like at once. It was like just like a sheet of paper with a bunch of information on it, and this was my understanding of it, that once you enter into this gelatin water-like whatever it is, the thing that we see, what people floating and that type of thing, that's actually what that is. But you can only go so far into it. It was thick like a wall, or like the Bible says, that came into my mind immediately, that God planted a garden and hedged it about. And the farther that you got into this gelatin, which really wasn't too far, but you get further into it, into this water-like substance, and the further you get, whatever it is that's at the end of it, you can't get past it because it will destroy anything that's physical. And then once you popped through on the other side, then that's where that spiritual dimension is, where I assume creatures like the Watchers and the Host of Heaven lived. So when it says flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven, I'm assuming that flesh and blood just can't live in that dimension, in that realm. So,
You what was this gelatin watery substance, thick substance, was it, did it have color?
well, no, it was clear, but the further you got into it, it got like milky, like where it was changing color. But then at one point, everything changed, where I don't know if something entered into it. In hindsight, maybe it was like the sun passing through it, because the sun came from the outside and went through it. So my assumption was it went through and then it went all the way to the end and then went through and the other side of it. So I'm assuming it was like a box or a square. But there was a purple color that radiated through the entire watercolor gelatin, whatever you want to call it.
Like from the other side or in it,
In it.
dispersed in it, like you
Yeah.
were swirling food
Wave,
color in there or
waves,
something.
almost like if you shot like a spotlight up into the air and it had different colors in it, like from the bottom to the top, it had different intensities of purple and
Okay. So, when you got this idea, was someone talking to you, or did you feel like you were being downloaded this information,
It was almost
or
like a telepathic conversation.
okay, and you heard a voice?
Yeah, but it was like the kind of voice where,
It was disembodied.
yeah, it was almost like if you're driving, all of a sudden something breaks into your thoughts and says, pray for somebody. It was that kind of voice.
Okay. So you weren't in your dream, there was nobody there. It was just you see, visualizing this.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you actually saw it, like you were in an out-of-body experience, saw it, or just a lucid dream?
Don't know.
Okay. Do you feel like you went anywhere, or do you feel like it was just put in your head?
Feel like it was just put in my head.
Okay. Do you
But I feel like I was looking at like photograph or like a, almost like a video of it.
Okay, so when the thought came to you that, he built a garden, he planted a garden, and then he put a hedge around it, you're talking about the metaphor of a literal, like a hedge that's too high for anything to, too high and too thick for anything to penetrate, and that protects the garden?
Yes.
Okay. And the hedge, was it a box? I mean, did it go all the way around the garden, or was it a circle? Was it at a, you know, what is the shape of this hedge? Did you see a top and a bottom of this wall? Did you see angles, as in the wall hit the ceiling, or, you know, where this wall and the ceiling came together, or where two walls came together?
No, I had the feeling, I just saw like one wall, just looking at it, the wall and how the wall worked and what was on the other side of it. But I assumed that the wall was humongous as far as where its end was, where its top was probably like beyond the stars type. But okay. I got the feeling that the wall was the only safe place. Like, you couldn't go up. You could only go to the sides.
Okay.
Like, you could only go so high.
You could only travel around the edge of the hedge. You couldn't go to the top of the hedge and go out over the top or... Okay.
No.
So it felt pretty infinite. You didn't even consider going up.
No.
You only considered going around.
The thought of going up was like not even there.
Okay.
It was the sides that was the issue. That was where you...
Okay. So...
That was within reach.
So then when you were first telling me about this, which is the reason why we're recording this, because dreams can be funny, you know, the more time passes, the more you embellish them yourself or try to figure out what they mean. And the purity of the dream is kind of gets watered down with all of your thoughts. So you said that you couldn't penetrate this wall. Why would you think the host lives on the other side, or the watchers or whatever? Do you feel like they can come through the wall to this side? Because if you, no physical matter can go through the wall to the other side, then why would you have assumed they could come over here?
Well, I assumed that I felt believed. It's almost like the automatic belief of seeing something and register, I believe this, I don't believe that, I believe that. It just came automatically with it.
Okay.
That we could go maybe like 2/3 through to the end. But that last third was just where physical matter would begin to be destroyed and break down. But the things that passed through, it didn't have the same substance that we did. You know,
okay.
So it could be that they could only last so long over here because this was designated for our type of being, kind of like a fish in water. We can go underwater, but it's not natural to our being. We don't have gills. We don't take the oxygen out of the water. We're incapable of doing that. It almost seemed like that's something that I could just be me or...
Okay. Also about the hedge, what made you think about that this hedge was around the garden? So you're assuming in your mind, what made you think about this is that our reality is the garden.
As soon as I hit that, as soon as I saw that, almost like looking at that watery like substance, the scripture verse came to me.
Okay. About the hedge.
Yeah.
All right. So, what made you think about satellites being embedded in it? Did you see any, or is this something that you thought, wow, maybe that's how that works?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you didn't actually see any satellites embedded in it, or rockets. You mentioned the word rockets. When rockets take off, they go sideways like they're going to be embedded into this.
They can only go so far out into that wall. Not wall, but into that
hedge.
Substance.
Okay.
Where gravity and things like that that work down here don't work in it. It works.
Okay.
It works differently in there. And
So in your mind, if by the density and the substance, the quality of this material, do you feel like it really was like a water or a gelatin, or do you think it was giving those visual properties, but that it may have been something like magnetism or electricity or some other thing, but it just looked like it was watery, gelatinous. But the reason why I'm asking that is because water has certain properties and you can move through it, but it slows you down and
yeah.
It's denser than air. So, you know, I'm wondering why you're describing it the way you're describing it. I mean, is it as if you were there looking at it, or you were shown it? How do you describe how you think you saw it in the dream?
It was like I was watching a video.
Okay.
Like,
so you weren't there.
No, I wasn't actually there. It was just like, it was like a big screen showing me, like, you know.
In your head, in your dream.
Yeah, a screen like where you don't see the edges and, you know, you don't see the seats around you. You just see, like, the thing playing.
Okay.
You know, it's big.
Like one of those dreams where you're watching the action, and but you're just sort of sitting on the curb. You're not participating. You're just watching. Okay.
Right.
And did you see anything penetrate it or come through it? You said you saw the sun come out of it.
Yeah, I sensed something was coming through. I assumed it was the sun that made that purpley, like, radiant lights going through it. There was something was big passing through because it filled up the whole wall as it was coming through.
Did it appear to be a light or just mass?
Just a mass coming through.
Okay, so you didn't see, like, the purple start to light up or anything as what you... I'm just trying to figure out why you assumed that it was the sun coming out of it. Is this because of other things that you've been thinking about lately with regards to...
Yes.
The portals and the gates and the things that... Other things we've been talking about
there?
Yeah,
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. And you never saw any entities passing through it. You just felt that they couldn't. We couldn't go there, but perhaps they could come here.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, as far as this color, you didn't see any other color than the color of purple. Colors of purple or one color of purple as if you were dumping food color into it and swirling it. Is that kind of what you saw?
Yeah, but it more like shined through, which is why I thought it would be like the sun. So,
okay.
So it was like almost like the light was coming from the bottom up. And if you looked at, like, in a graphic program and you had the darkest color of purple on top and then the lightest color of purple on the bottom, like, and the whole spectrum in between, that's what it was like. Not a uniform pattern, but, you know, like, beams of dark purple here.
Okay.
And like, little light purple here. And then next to it, in vertical, not perfectly vertical, but in, like, rays... All going through it.
Okay. So this was coming up from the bottom.
I saw it coming up from the bottom, yeah. And soon it filled everything. It created like a...
Okay. So the substance itself, you said it was white, it was transparent. Translucent, what do you call it? Opalescent. I mean, what would you compare it to? A foggy window? One of those windows that is in, like, the bathroom where you can't see out but the light comes through?
I compare it to, like, what do you call it? That white, some kind of thicker jelly, like, not as thick as jelly but not as thin as water. So, like, somewhere in between it until you, that was, like, two-thirds of it. But then whatever it was got... more impassable as you got through to the
Okay, I want to go back to how this information was imparted to you. Do you feel like you said that it just all came at once and you felt like you needed to read it all or see it all or understand it all, but it was just like a data dump of information?
Yeah, it was just a data dump of information, and I never considered a hypothesis of a wall at the end. Whenever I considered a firmament and things like that, I always considered it to be beyond the stars at the top, like the Bible describes, the lights are in the firmament, but I never considered, like, an edge. So this dream had just, it was about the edge. It was about the wall.
Something. All right.
That's why it's really stuck out to me. Or else
All
I said,
right.
oh,
so
it's just an ice cream dream.
What'd you say? An ice cream dream?
Yeah, like a spaghetti dream, whatever.
Okay. Do you, so after seeing this wall and this material that made up the wall, you now think that the stars and that what you see in the heavens are in the wall? I mean, physically inside that jelly-like material or on our side of it?
I don't know. I don't know what to assume. But I guess the more I think about it, I guess...
Like, for example, the moon. You know, people argue about the moon. People in the flat Earth community still question whether the moon is a sphere or whether it's a flat plane like they think the Earth would be. Because you only see one face of it and it never rotates and so on and so forth. It has properties of being spherical, but it could also be just flat and have those properties. How would you say the moon operates within this, the garden versus the hedge? Would you say maybe the moon is embedded in this material and moves around the surface of it, perhaps? Or comes in and out of it, comes through it, like the sun, you're thinking, comes through it?
Yeah, I would... And this is just me thinking. I would assume, based on this, that everything comes through it. But my perception of that has already been colored by the Book of Enoch and how things follow a certain track. So, but the track, just like in a, if you go to an amusement park, you see where the box cars are out in front, the people to sit on. But then it disappears behind an opening, mm-hmm. right? So when the ride begins, you only see the outside of it. But then it disappears on one side, but then the people come back in the other side and they get off the cart.
Okay.
You know, when the ride is over, like an old amusement park used to be. That was the feeling that I'm left with in relation to stars and things like that that move through this.
Like they're on a track.
Yeah, like they follow a specific track.
Well, one of the reasons why I asked about the moon was because of the little bit of what looks like a rotation of the moon happens when it so-called goes from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, that, you know, the face seems to be clockwise or counterclockwise, maybe 90 degrees or 180 degrees from what the other people see. And also that thought of that Crow 777 video that he keeps saying that he's found this anomaly where there's like a glitch and it looks like a water movement wave happens over the moon. Would any of those things make any sense with regards to your dream as somehow fitting into that, or am I forcing something? Okay.
No.
All right.
I just definitely, what I came with is there really is an end to the Earth.
Okay.
That's what I was left. There really is an end. And the end meaning that you don't just drop off, you just leave the dimension, right?
All right.
You're in the
place. So I can't help then, but because I've been doing research on this very same thing myself, I can't help but think about the whole idea that it goes off one side and comes back in the other. Like that dimension is this. The end of one is the beginning of the other. Is that a possibility with regards to what you think you saw?
I think it's possible. But I think that a human being is only legally allowed to exit this world once. So I don't see how we could come back through one side, at least going through the wall. Maybe there are ways to do it here on the physical down.
Okay,
here.
So as far as like a ship sailing to the east and coming to the end of the Earth, you're saying that ship wouldn't come back in the west?
Yeah, I have a feeling that nobody lives close to, if you look at it like think about a regular garden, you know, and you see like hedges around it, that's like such a small version, it doesn't even, I think we're like in the center. And I don't think there's any people living even anywhere close to that wall, which is why they got there with probably a rocket to even know it existed.
Okay. So do you feel like there's just one wall, or do you think there's a wall all the way around this hedge?
I think there's a wall all the way around it.
And you think it's possible at the top too? But it's so far away that it doesn't...
Yeah. Like when the Bible says that it doesn't register because we can't get, it's not, you know, we can't reach the top. We can only reach the sides. And I believe about the angel, it says the angels holding back the winds at the four corners.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I believe that was just one of three of four walls. I just saw one side.
Okay. Then in your mind, the distance between that wall and any of the other walls is pretty vast.
Pretty vast. Yep.
Okay.
So I you know, if I had to guess, I would say that they found one side and that's the side they go to. That's the wall that...
they're trying to go to.
Yeah.
That
they're working on. That they feel safe in that one wall. They've been there enough times. But the other three, I don't think there's anybody there. Or
okay, so if you had to choose it,
north,
you think this was the north wall?
Yeah, I got that feeling in the dream. I can't explain why, but
because it was cold.
No,
were you cold? Did you have any sensation
I felt like I was looking up, like that's where I was, you know.
And if you were physically in the north.
I was physically in the north.
The north as you know it.
As I understand it, yeah.
Like north of Greenland, like the Arctic.
Yeah.
Okay. But you weren't cold. You were just there visiting in your mind, not with your body.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And so did you have any thought that you would want to try to touch this wall or go through this wall, go into the wall yourself? Did you have fear of the wall?
No. It was just like watching a video of how it worked and understanding and being suddenly having like, what do you call it? A feeling of, oh, okay, that's, I can see how part of this works. I don't really need to know. My curiosity, I guess it was enough.
Okay, so you understand then that creates a created world, I know that you are quite adept at explaining things from the Bible and you've read the Bible over and over. And I guess what I'm asking or trying to make sure of is that study is not clouding your perception of the dream too much.
No.
Obviously it would somewhat, but...
because all of this is not going to be around anyway. This creation will be gone. I mean, according to the Bible, we'll be in the heaven of heavens, which has nothing to do with the hedge. It has nothing to do with what's on the other side of the hedge. This is all the lower, I guess, part that human beings live in this time period.
So we're like in the basement?
No.
First floor?
Yeah, I guess we're on the...
what floor?
Ground.
If we're in ground floor.
We're on ground floor and we're going to the all the way up.
Did it give you any sense that this wall penetrated below the level of what we call the earth and that it went down farther?
I'm not thought at all on that.
I guess because I'm saying you felt like whatever was happening was coming up from below when the sun was coming up or whatever you thought.
Whatever was passing through was causing that, was passing through below my sight of vision.
Okay, so it was coming, it was working below, and but you never saw issue as being the sun.
No, I assumed it was the sun because what could create that kind of
energy movement?
Yeah, where it started small and then spread out and
so it was dissipating, its mass was dissipating
through
what was inside,
yeah,
what it was passing through. In other words, it had more mass than what it was passing through.
Yes.
Like a big whale passing through the ocean would disperse the water or displace the water around. So it was displacing something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to get this out of your head and try to ask you questions to think about things that you didn't maybe really think about or have a chance to think about while the dream was happening. And obviously it's always better to think about it immediately when you wake up or close to, because a lot of the memories with a lot of people with dreams, they go away, you know, as the day progresses or...
oh, absolutely.
Farther time from when you actually had it. But do you, if I were to ask you, do you feel like it was more of a dream or more of a vision?
When it happened, I thought it was, you know, God just showing me something that I was interested in and giving me just like a quick peek and answering some very, very basic questions.
Okay. Do you feel kind of like Enoch or not to that degree, that Enoch was literally
taken?
Oh,
no, not to that degree. I feel like maybe like a 10-year-old that sees the Grand Canyon for the first time and is just like overwhelmed with what's in the vision so much that it's not even worth going down into it to explore it. It's just, you know.
It's overwhelming enough just to see it with your eyes.
Yeah. No need to really even see it again. Just knowing that it's there and, you know, then you come back to your regular life.
Okay. So you don't have a desire to, like, I guess many times when you have a dream like this where it's kind of impactful, you have the desire to go back to sleep and continue the dream.
No, it was more like a thing of wonder. Like if you saw like something like outside in nature, it was like, wow, look at that, you know, and then you go okay. on and yeah, it didn't create, it was more like a child response, I guess, to it than like a scientific.
Okay. So it didn't make you want to spend the rest of the year delving into what you think you saw?
No.
It didn't create that?
No, because it left me with the impression that what you just saw is just beyond you of even really understanding everything that goes into it. Okay. And it wasn't necessary to understand it. It was just like, it just showed that, you know, God, whoever, God making this stuff, you know, we're just so far beneath of being able to comprehend how everything fits together. But the one thing that was encouraging was everything is built by the same designer. So we can see lesser degrees of everything that exists here. You know, it's okay, just a lesser degree.
So, for example, then the analogy of planting a garden and putting a hedge around it, the hedge in your mind, because that's what it made you think of, is that a protection? Is that an enclosure? Is it a defense? The hedge. Because you're comparing the hedge to the wall that you saw.
No, the hedge isn't for protection. The hedge, well, maybe somebody might interpret it that way, but the hedge is like a boundary, like a state line, where... Okay, we live here in Florida, but as soon as we leave our state boundaries, we're in a new state that's governed by different laws than this state is. Okay. And for whatever reason, the law of our state prohibits us from crossing the line.
Okay.
Don't know why, but it's just that's the way it is. So there's boundaries that are put there for whatever reason that this is where our stuff ends and another begins.
Okay, so then the hedge, trying to compare it to something else, do you think there's another version like ours on the other side of the hedge?
Yeah.
Like, for example, you're in a honeycomb, and each honeycomb cell has... honey in it, but it's enclosed by these wax walls, and then there's another cell right next to it of honey, and they're separated. So do you think there's more like our honey cell, or do you think the other beyond the hedge are different versions of different things that have nothing to do with ours?
Yes, that. Okay. They have nothing to do with ours.
Okay, so they're realms for other
life forms.
Other life forms, entities, beings.
Yeah, we consider them entities because we're kind of like...
we're an entity.
We're a lower entity, one that's, you know, physical.
Okay. Do you Did you feel any danger coming from the other side of the wall?
No.
No? Okay.
I didn't feel any
danger.
So
you didn't feel like any danger could come through the wall, through this hedge and get us?
No. Well, according to the Bible, Jesus is there. You know, he's the door. Anybody, and he came through. Satan came through illegally. He came through into this world, but it didn't belong here. He came through Adam's line, so to speak. So they don't belong here. Those type of spirit beings that are fallen. They don't belong in this. They came through illegally. They came through us.
Can they get out?
Oh, I believe they can. Yeah.
Okay. So
I believe they have to get out. They don't live down here. They just get here through these. I'm not talking about demons. I'm talking about the ones that
the Watchers, the fallen angels,
fallen angel type beings.
Okay.
Yeah, I personally believe the demons are the disembodied spirits of the creatures that were born of the flesh and blood women in the book of Genesis. But that's getting into theology, you know. If you just kept it simple, you know.
Well, but it does matter to the degree of that the density of humans and these demons that were born of flesh and blood. The flesh and blood part is the part that can't go through the wall.
Yeah, the flesh and blood part. So we're spirit beings inside a body. Okay. So when we lose the body, then we can pass through.
Okay.
You know, but to pass through safely, you have to be a part of God's redeemed people. That's the reason why Jesus came.
Okay, so in order to go through the wall
safely,
as your spirit being, not, you know, you left your meat suit behind. Your meat suit can't go through the wall, but your spirit being can.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this was the wall that your spirit being would go through if your meat suit was left? You're dead and your 26 ounces of spirit, they say the body loses 26 ounces, blah, blah, blah.
I just had the feeling that there was the outer darkness was beyond that wall. That's my personal
outer darkness, and so it's a void, or
don't know.
Just darkness because you don't understand it.
Just darkness because I don't understand it.
But darkness is the reverse of lightness.
Yeah,
the presence of light and the absence of light. So you feel like that the other side of that wall was the absence of light.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be out there. That was the logical thing that my mind created. It wasn't part of the dream, but I remember waking up and thinking,
I wouldn't want to go out there.
Yeah, you don't want to go out there. You don't want to break the hedge. You don't want to go through it.
You don't have any reason to go out there.
No, you don't have any reason to go out there.
You have a fear of going out there, or just no reason to go there?
No reason.
Okay. So it wasn't fear-based?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No, I didn't have any fear at all in the dream. As a matter of fact, when I first woke up, I remember thinking, wow, that was something. And then as the, I was up about 30 minutes after the dream was over, just mulling it over, considering what I had seen in my mind. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord just showed me that, right? So, and the reason why I say that is because so many scripture verses were coming up that were going along with what I was seeing. When I say so many, I say maybe like three. But then after I woke up for real, my logical mind kicked in and started to think, well, that's probably just, your own imagination and all the information. It was almost like doubt started to creep in and say, well, you've heard other people talk about it. It could have been in your subconscious. And all those things are true. It could just be totally, you know, my own self-generated understanding of all of this information. But then when I look at my lifetime and I see, like, you know, how God has shown me different things and how other people, we can all be the same in it, God doesn't speak out of the whirlwind 99.9% of the time. He doesn't speak from the clouds. It says he speaks in a still small voice on the inside of you. And so if I had to like bet money on whether that was God or not, I could bet money that God was in that somewhere. Whether it was 100% of it, I don't know. But I feel pretty confident in saying that that was kind of like a little gift.
Okay, so you would probably compare it to other people saying it was inspired by God.
Yeah.
Okay, you felt the dream felt inspired.
Yeah.
Like you didn't feel like you were coming up with this on your own.
I just remembered something that I didn't remember.
Okay. See, this is why it's important to get it out as soon as you can.
I prayed before going to sleep. After being awakened several times, it felt like something was trying to like torment me in my sleeping state.
Okay.
Almost like, what do you call that? Where you have sleep paralysis, where something is trying, like something was trying to get in, okay, but something was holding it back. I had that a few times, and I remember two or three times in a row I had that, where I woke up, I felt like something was, so I got up out of bed, I went to the bathroom, and then I started praying and asking God for protection around me and you and the house and the property and everything like that. And then I went back to bed, and then that was done. And I remember thinking as I was going off that, you know, it's like brushing your teeth. You know, you got to do it continuously, and you have to pray continuously, because the things that make your mouth dirty and your breath bad, right, is the kind of analogy of like the things that come from the outside that are dirty and unclean and try to mess with you and to get you. It's just like that. You know, it's like, you know,
so then you felt relieved from that when you were drifting off to sleep because of the prayer.
And then that dream came after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the span of time that all of this information came to you, you know, I know dreams feel sometimes like they're very long and drawn out and go all through the whole night. And then other dreams feel like almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of content. So would you say that it was like B?
A lot of content.
Fast, a lot of content fast.
A lot of content fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you think you were thinking about it? I mean, I know the subconscious can play games with us.
I wasn't thinking about it.
You were just aware it was happening.
Yeah.
Okay. And then with regards to how you felt after, did you feel like it was an aha, or did you feel like, oh, okay, and now I feel kind of peaceful about that?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't feel agitated?
No.
Like you were being fooled, messed with?
No, I feel very peaceful. I was being messed with
before that.
Before that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but in other words, there was a message that was trying to come through, and there was static in the lines, which was you being messed with. And once you got a clear line by doing the prayer, then the message was able to come through. Do you feel like that?
I didn't put the two together until just a few seconds ago when I realized, oh yeah, that was really agitating when that was happening. And, you know, it was like I could sense a darkness that was too dark, that was unnaturally dark, when that agitation started coming, you know.
Okay.
Like a suddenly you look outside, it's like, wow, the sun's gone, and it's really like
creepy dark.
It's getting creepy dark, yeah.
Okay.
So there was the creepy dark, but it was something that I, from experience, I know now's the time you pray.
Okay, so in retrospect now, you don't think this was any kind of astral projection, out-of-body experience? You don't feel like you went anywhere?
No.
You feel like this came into you?
Yeah, it came into the dream. And
did you know you were dreaming?
Didn't even think about it at the time.
It was just the
information coming into the mind, along with all the visuals that...
And there was nobody else but you?
me and whoever it was.
Did you feel an entity that was with you, whether you could see it or not?
Yeah, kind of. Not like an entity, like you would say, like a person, but, you know, like there was an intelligent giving of information.
Would you relate it of the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? Would you say it would be more like the Holy Spirit?
I didn't think,
or an entity below that.
No, I would say
like a guardian angel type.
No, I wouldn't say it was that. I don't know. Okay. At this point, I'd be adding information that wasn't even considered at
the time. Well, I am asking you for the purpose of making you analyze and making you think about what you saw, what happened.
Yeah, it was very peaceful.
Okay.
Well, it was a very peaceful. It wasn't like the agitation type of.
And you kept saying earlier about being a child, so it felt like a childlike wonder of what you were seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I've prayed before about this whole thing with the flat earth and the firmament and all that. And, you know, I finally came to the conclusion that I'm not the type of person who can sit down with a pen and paper and mathematically create these different models or anything like that. It's just beyond me.
Okay.
So, because then you, on the other side, I feel I would have to break it down and be able to look at it critically based on real facts that a person could grasp. And I don't think I could critically create something, critically take it apart. It would just be more like a
Jimmy's version of what you thought.
Yeah, it wouldn't
were.
Be something that I wanted to share. And I wouldn't have even shared this information with anybody but you. So you're probably the only person who will hear it. So.
All right. Well, and maybe not. Maybe it's worthy of sharing this information, because what if somebody else out there had a similar dream or a similar vision, and it wasn't just going to one person? That's part of the importance of information sharing.
Well, you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says not to despise prophecies. And the difference between prophecy in the Old Testament and prophecy in the New Testament is kind of like prophecy in the Old Testament was foretelling things that were going to happen in the big picture. So it says that God in the old times has spoken to us through his prophets, but in the last times has spoken to us through his son. But yet there's prophets in the New Testament, like in the book of Acts, there's a prophet named Agabus, and he takes this belt, and he says whoever owns this belt is going to be bound when they go into Jerusalem. He's talking about Paul. So he was forthtelling in that situation. So there's a lot of false prophets, and sure enough, Paul went. So I could see that was God's way of warning him through another man. Hey, when you go here, if you go there, you're going to get... So he made the choice to go anyway. And that's what happened. He got arrested and bound. So there's so many false prophets that when you get so much of the bad, it just sours you towards a topic in general.
Of prophecy.
But you can relate that to things in the natural, like investment. Like if you've been trying to make money and invest and do this, and then you read these courses online, we'll show you how to make $1 million, or we'll show you how to triple your investment in 30 days. If you've ever done that before and it fails, it sours you to the whole topic, right, of doing it. But yet, deep inside, you know there are people out there that are doing it. Are they lucky? Or is there really a system that works? Sooner or later, if you try it enough times and fail, you feel that I'll never be one of those, so it's really irrelevant for me. So when I think about dreams and visions and things like that, for my own benefit, I enjoy them, but in another sense, I know that there are so many false ones out there. Because if you say, I had this vision, or I had this dream, or other things that happened to me personally in the past, it's almost like other people will suddenly jump up and say, oh, I had one too. It's almost like they're compelled to say that.
Okay.
You know?
I understand. Group, kind of a group thing.
Right.
Thing. Okay.
And that's what happened in the church, in the early church. All these people started prophesying, and they were like, we can't even have a meeting here because all these things are just crazy and out of order. So there's a real thing, but it's not as common as people would like to think it is. It's very rare, and then there's a whole bunch of common false versions of it
Okay, know? And where do you think those false versions come from? Do you think they come from the person themselves? Do you think they come from one of those entities that was trying to prevent you from having your dream by antagonizing you? Or do you, you know...
I believe of all of them that, happen, I if I had to just use an analogy, I'd go with the two-thirds are fake, one-third are real. And whether that in that two-thirds, some are created by people's own wishful desire to have it happen.
Okay.
And others are from the enemy trying to mislead people.
All right. So you wouldn't expect to take this information and put it out on a blog and say, look, I have been, you know, I'm a prophet. And I've been given this information to share with other people, and then come up with something that it means. You have no intention of saying what it means.
No.
You think this was a personal thing and not something that you're supposed to share out there for everybody.
Right. I mean, I believe most people, if you think about the tremendous experiences that most people claim they have, what's the first thing they do? They monetize it. They turn it into a book. The book becomes a movie. Does that mean that all those experiences are fake? No. But what it does mean is that it's very beneficial in this world to have a supernatural experience, because there's other people that are going to want to hear it. There's other people that are going to be drawn to it. So, you know, you think about somebody like Samson. Right? Why did God give that guy supernatural strength, knowing that with his disposition, he'd go off with all these women and it would ultimately cost him his life? Right? So there's free will. Some gifts, as great as they are, wind up destroying the person that they flow through. Right?
Okay. And why do you think that would be? Because some people would say that doesn't seem like a very benevolent God, does it?
Balaam was another one. He was a accurate prophet, but he was a false prophet who did what he did for financial gain. So I believe we each have a choice. If we didn't, free will wouldn't exist. We'd just be robots. And how could we be judged by a God that doesn't give us the choice? He says in the book of Deuteronomy, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life that both you and your seed may live. So, but I believe in certain cases he withholds certain things for people, knowing that, hey, you know what? If this person had this position or this ability, it would destroy them. So there's a reason why Moses spent all those years in the wilderness. It was to prepare him for what he would do later in life. And the reason why he had to do it later in life was because it probably would have destroyed him if he did it earlier in life. With somebody like Samson, maybe it was just the fact that, hey, it needs to be done now. It can't be done when he's 80 years old or whatever. But every person is unique. Their story is unique and everything. But I'm personally, I look at it like I'm aware of all these things, you know. So because I've studied it for 30 years. The way somebody might study to pass a test. It's the only subject Bible that I've studied with that intensity, you know? So,
did you feel like there was time associated with anything to do with time that was associated with you looking at this wall, with this hedge, this end of the earth?
No, nothing with time.
Nothing with time. Okay. No. Nothing urgent about it?
Nope.
You felt no sense of urgency, like you need to know this or you need to do something about what you know now? Nothing like that?
Nope. And if you hadn't asked me, I wouldn't have even... I brought it up to you, but I would have never made a recording or anything like that. I mean, it was just for me.
No, it's kinda for like... me to... it was me that asked you, can we please... just write this down, and then it became a recording because it was the fastest, easiest way to
get it out,
start talking about it, because your ability to remember your dreams is vastly different than my own. I rarely dream. They say you dream all the time, But so if I'm dreaming, I don't remember it at all. By the time I wake up, it's gone.
Yeah.
And I have only briefly in my life been awakened or awakened from a dream and be able to tell you what even just happened. And most of the time they're very scary. I have nightmares, not dreams. But when that's why knowing from my perspective how fast dreams leave me and the meaning of them, I wanted to ask you these things before much time went by. Obviously, you're probably going to think about it more, but your own intellect and logic and life's experiences are going to start tainting the dream because you're going to start trying to put meaning to it, perhaps.
Well, I would put it this way. It was real enough where if I wasn't making this recording and, you know, we just don't talk about it ever again, somebody asked me, what do you think is out there? I would say that, you know, we can only go so far because there's a border.
Okay.
That we're not meant to cross, or maybe I would use the hedge analogy. But, you know, people are so caught up with the, you know, is it physical or is it, and that just seems ridiculous to me now. It just seems to be like a matter of legality more than anything else, that this is what we're allowed to, this is our sphere that we're allowed to do. And there is a reason why it says in the Bible to not consult mediums and these other things, because what lies on the other side is smarter than us to the level that a sheep as an animal is beneath probably the shepherd that's guiding it.
Okay.
I mean, we're just too easily deceived by smoke and mirrors and supernatural.
All right, so if you were the Department of Defense or the people at DARPA or some scientists from NASA or somebody at that level or all combined, and this wall is in the north, hedge is in the north, and you discovered it.
Yeah.
In reality, you found it, literally. There it is.
Yeah.
We can't go beyond here. Does this, what you think you saw, what you saw in the dream, does this look like something they might be trying to get through, penetrate, attack, understand, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I...
Because there's a reason why I'm asking, because many people, especially people in the flat earth community, believe there's something in the north and something in the south that is the end, that we can't get through.
Yeah.
Whether it's a dome, a wall, a hedge, something. An energy field, something we can't penetrate, but that they, in quotes, know that it's there and have found it and are trying to work on it. In your mind, from now what you think you've seen, is this something you would spend decades working on trying to get through, and why would you want to do that? If you know now that there's darkness on the other side, that there's a whole nother realm on the other side, that our meat suits can't penetrate and go out the other way, is it possible that the entities that are trying to get through it are some of these demons possessing meat suits who want to get through it, or watchers or angels or fallen ones or whatever? Does any of that make any sense in comparison to what you saw?
No, I mean, I just feel that they're limited in what they can do here. And they can come through, they can go back and forth, they can go to the different levels because they have that ability and we don't. But unless an angel takes you, but I could see why somebody, if you actually saw it for in real three-dimension breathing, I am awake, this isn't a vision or a dream or anything like that, or something communicated to you, some otherworldly being and you went out there and saw it, I mean, the thought of power is something that would come across your mind, because it's like anything else. You know, it's like the Bible talks about a man that found a treasure in a field, but he didn't own the field, but he sold everything that he had, got all his money and bought that field so that he could get that treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not knowing what's there, and if you took the Bible out of it and just looked at it as, wow, we have this discovery, I mean, you'd put everything you could into figuring out how it worked and what benefits could be, you know, derived from it, and just like people do here, you know?
Okay, so if you had, you know, if you had to think about boring a hole of some form through this wall, okay, some means like CERN Hadron Collider beams or something that were going to try to penetrate this wall and get out, nuclear blasts, some kind of way that you could go through this wall. In your mind, do you feel like if the balloon were burst on the other side, to our realm,
yeah,
would we like die?
Oh yeah, that would be it.
I mean, we as a whole, the whole,
I would assume that whatever leaked in would not be good for our down okay. here. Whatever leaked in would be, because that's what it's protecting this dimension from.
Okay, so we would be destroyed most likely in your mind if this wall, hedge, whatever, were penetrated to the other side, leaving a hole in the balloon, or
yeah, whatever came in wouldn't be good.
A leak in the dike, or
yeah, and like I'm not talking about like as far as like a spirit being or anything coming in, but that's there for a reason. You know, obviously there are demons here on Earth, there's evil here on Earth, so it's not a matter of you know, are we being protected? Obviously, we're not. I mean, we're protected by prayer and faith and things like that, but we're out here where there's real evil at work, working through people, whether they're like meat puppets or whatever. But there's also the physical aspect of whatever God created to keep this place working the way it does, and that it would definitely be breaking down. And I have a feeling it is breaking down.
So is God on the other side of the wall?
Got so much further beyond that, it's not even his dimension, you know what I'm
okay.
saying?
Okay, and so how does prayer work from you, little person here in this, you know, realm, praying through a wall? Obviously prayer is words, or prayer is thought, so it's some kind of energy, and it's penetrating the wall to get to God, otherwise, is God in here too?
I look at it like the Bible describes the church as being a body, Jesus being the head, and describes us like pieces on a body. So it says that, you know, if you have not the Spirit of God in you, you are none of his. So I would assume that the Holy Spirit is in us, those who believe, and we're automatically connected the way your finger is connected to your hand, and your hand is connected to your wrist, and the brain sends signals down to each part of the body so that it works. And likewise, as members in particular, the Bible calls us like stones in a building, that we can communicate back naturally the way as a body would. Okay. So it's not a matter of distance.
So like the neurons and nerves and stuff of our body are connected to our head.
Likewise, our spirits are connected to the Holy Spirit. So we're connected to...
Okay. All right. Well, that makes some sense.
Yeah, it's not a matter of like
anything
Pony Express.
Else that you just thought about now since we've had this conversation that you would describe that has anything to do with the dream. Do you feel smarter after having had the dream?
No.
No. Do you feel more connected after having had the dream?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That was quick. Okay. And do you feel compelled to do anything as a result of the dream?
No. No, I mean...
You don't feel compelled to go out and write a blog or make a video or go stand on a soapbox and say the end, the world, the end is near, or the beginning is here, or something, anything like that. You don't feel any kind of compulsion to.
I believe that whatever the majority is thinking is wrong.
Okay.
In every movement, including the flat earth movement.
Okay.
That there's a few that have their finger on the pulse of it, but most don't. So, that's just a safe rule, you know? I mean, the things that we assumed for years having to do with life and the finances and everything turned out to be wrong. And now you can see it, you know?
Do you feel like there's any entities here in our realm, in the garden, inside the hedge, that get it, that understand it, and are hiding it from the rest of us? And do you have any reason to believe they would be doing that and why they would be doing that?
I have a feeling that your heart knows things your head doesn't.
Okay.
Right? I always think that, for example, my dad was in an accident many years ago in like a four-car pileup, and it went on the news, and my mom was at work, and when she heard it, she knew he was in the accident. Something deep down inside, and her head said that was crazy, but it turned out that...
He was.
He was.
Okay.
You know?
So that's part of this neural connection of the way the system we live in works.
Right.
Is that we're possibly all connected,
and you know,
every cell.
She didn't will that to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Obviously, the accident had already happened.
She didn't reach out there and say, okay, there was an accident. Now let me tune in and see if.
Right.
If
no, she felt the
he
feeling.
Was in it.
Right. Exactly. No, I get that. Okay. So back to my question, do you feel there are people, entities slash people who know about this wall and know about the way our
yes,
garden
there's
and,
people
the,
that know.
And the hedge work?
Well, maybe on a very basic level.
Like they don't know how it works, they don't know what, but they know it exists?
They know it exists.
So they know that we don't live on a ball that's spinning through the space and blah, blah, blah. They know that this is an enclosed system that we live in that is has an end to it around.
Yeah, it. I believe that, yeah.
They have to know.
Yeah.
Those who have the power to know, meaning more money, more access to information, more control over giant departments and divisions and militaries and everything else, they have the ability
right.
to know something like this exists.
Yeah.
Okay. So, does this dream change anything about the way you think about life, the universe, and everything anymore?
No, it adds another chapter to a book of my own personal understanding.
Okay.
So I think that's a good thing.
All right. So if I were to ask you, and I don't want you to make it up, I just want you to tell me what your heart says, not your mind, okay? Do you feel like this is this one wall is one of many walls? Or just several walls, or three or four walls, and is there a floor and a ceiling?
Well, I assume there was three other walls when I looked at it. I was looking at the one.
Okay, because it was flat and straight, like a wall in your house. Did it have waves or undulations to it, or anything like that? Was it like?
No, you could see it was like a beginning of something totally different.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if like you walk in
like a mirror, like as flat and square and straight and
yeah.
as a mirror?
Yeah.
Or the surface of the ocean?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Okay. So it didn't curve like a dome?
No.
Okay. A terrarium?
No, I saw it just like a wall.
Spherical in any way? A wall.
Yeah.
Okay, a wall is pretty square.
Just imagine a fish tank with a front and
okay,
a back.
Okay, a fish tank. There you go.
And passing that, the wall is thick. You know what I'm saying? Like a...
All right, so it would be a reverse fish tank. We're inside the dry part, and the water, or this gelatinous material, is on the outside.
Yeah, on the outside.
Okay. So, but you don't have any feeling about how high this wall goes.
Oh, it was so high it wasn't even worth looking. You know what I mean?
In your dream, did you look up? Because most people would look up and look down the wall and look down the wall and, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it was...
Left and right and up.
It was like a video in the
dream. All right,
so
you didn't get to look up because there's the top of the video screen.
Well, the video screen was huge, but it was the video screen nonetheless. Like, if you're sitting in a theater and watching a movie, you're not aware of where the screen ends because you're in the movie, kind of, but you're not. You're watching it. And that's kind of like what the dream was like. But my sense was, wow, this wall was just...
Vast.
Vast. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And vast to the degree that...
It's holding the creation. I mean, it's the creation that we know as the seas and the...
And there is no traveling past it.
Not living.
Okay, because I know one of the jokes that has sort of arisen out of the square flat earth concept of you're sailing east and you hit the international date line, say, for example, and it's the next day.
Yeah.
This wall doesn't work like that.
No.
Like Pac-Man.
No.
In other words, haha, we're laughing, it's all funny and everything, but that's how Pac-Man works. It goes out one side of the screen and instantly comes in the other side of the screen. This is not that kind of a wall.
No.
Okay.
No, this is something that very...
And you don't feel compelled, you don't feel like you had anything to do with making this up in your own subconscious.
No.
Nothing like this you've ever thought about before.
Well, you know, that's the part. You know, you hear about things and you start questioning. At the time, it was like it was real.
Uh-huh.
When I woke up, it was like it was real.
Okay.
But just like any other dream, as the more you go through the day and the more hours that pass, it's like your intellect kicks in. Now, okay. I've had dreams that were, I realized I was dreaming, and I actually realized that I could control aspects of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you, in your mind then, this is my last question, do you feel like this was a dream or a vision?
I think it was a dream. But David, who was a prophet and a king in the Old Testament, and one or two others talked about the visions they received within their dreams. So I look at it as a vision, as something you have when you're awake, and a dream that you have. But it says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So I think there are two ways of getting information from that, from God to you. So, I mean, God knows in my heart I wanted to understand or see something, you know?
Right.
But I'm not the type of person that I want to see something supernatural happen just so I could say I saw it, because I've already seen some things that were undeniably supernatural in my lifetime. So it's not like I need that.
Right.
You know?
Well, do you look at it as far as a vision goes, do you look, I get that you just said you felt like it was a dream and that maybe there was something visionary in the dream. Okay.
Yeah.
Does it compel you to try to get any answers to what this is? Or to learn more about what this is?
No, I almost feel guilty in saying no. My personality is, wow, that's totally cool. You know what I mean? And that something like that, it would seem like exists. And
but, I mean, some people who got that vision or that dream would spend the rest of their life looking for the wall, looking for the for the hedge.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
You're not one of those kind of people.
No.
And you don't feel compelled to find out.
No.
You feel like you have been given an answer, and that answer should be sufficient.
Yeah, I was given maybe
like
a percentage of an answer.
Okay, like a parent says, here's what you need to know, and you don't really need to know any more than that.
Right.
Is that kind of how you feel?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Stop,
yeah.
Like, not stop asking questions, but all the questions you've been asking, I've been getting, here's what you need to know about that, and you don't really need to know anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what you would kind of say?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So, because if I had a vision like this, and I've had some vision dreams before over my life, and...
That's all you'd be doing.
Well, no. I was a different kind of child. I had these dreams when I was a child, and I was a different kind of child than probably you were, in that I asked a lot of questions all the time. Why? What does this mean? What is this for? I was just an information and knowledge junkie. And if it didn't make sense, then I would say, that doesn't make sense. You didn't explain it good enough. Explain it better. Explain it more. Tell me more. And to the point of being a nuisance.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to know that. Or you'll figure it out sooner or later. And then in my mind, I would say, well, you're saying that because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't want to admit you don't know. So you're just blowing me off with, you don't need to know that. Yeah, I do. Obviously, I do need to know that, or I wouldn't have asked the freaking question. Okay. And so that's a difference in some people. And that's led me to being in a place where I'm, so-called a conspiracy theory junkie, because I need to know the answer to everything.
Right.
Having a dream like this would compel me to delve into hours and weeks and months and perhaps years of research to figure out, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What did I see? Is that real, or was that in my imagination? I would try to find something that would either show me that it was a vision or my imagination making a dream.
Well, there's a Bible scripture that says we see through the glass dimly, but mm-hmm. later on, when that which is perfect has come, we'll see face to face and know even as we're known. So it says, when we cross over, the time will come where you will know even as you are known. That has such a sense of completeness to it. And the seeing through the glass dimly or darkly right now, easy to relate to. So I know that the answers are coming, and I'm okay with having seen dimly.
Okay. but here's one of the... See, you're not an evil-minded person, okay? But there are those people. There are those psychopathic, control freak, evil-minded people. They exist, and we know that because we know the carnage that they've
yeah.
left behind over history. And so, in my opinion, I'm listening to this and I'm thinking of this hedge wall and I'm thinking of somebody trying to penetrate it
yeah.
with whatever means they have, whether it's setting off nuclear bombs inside of it or trying to find a stargate through it or whatever, okay? And I see a malevolent problem with doing that. In other words, maybe they truly would be trying to get through it to destroy the world, our
yeah.
world. For the purpose of just, ha-ha, if I can't rule the world, I'll just destroy it.
Yeah.
Okay? Just like we'd have terrorists who you really wouldn't want them to have a nuclear bomb in their possession.
Yeah. Well, whatever the scientists are bummed out about, I mean, they said that that scientists are suffering from depression now because they realize that the Earth is on a course that it doesn't appear there's any coming back from. I've read several articles about that. They don't actually tell you, pinpoint what the data is, or maybe they just say that you're not going to understand it anyway. So whether that's tied to global warming or whatever, but maybe there's holes in the hedge and there's things seeping through. I don't know. That's just an assumption. But
So what if the possibility is that there is a hole in the hedge? One of the things that, you know, is biblical as far as Revelation is that all this, when the end comes, all the stars will fall from the heavens.
Yeah.
That's millions per billion, looks like.
Yeah.
Billions. And that the roof or ceiling or whatever will roll back like a parchment.
Well, I get the image of in an airplane, and all of a sudden the window's blown out, and all of a sudden everything starts getting sucked out into the, you know.
Well, that's what they used to talk about all the time, a hole in the ozone, and now they hardly ever talk about that anymore.
But
now it's global warming and ice melting and so on.
Right.
So,
well, maybe if there's a hole, maybe the reverse would happen where everything outside would get sucked in.
Versus sucked out.
Versus sucked out. You know, so.
So would you consider that whole black hole thing as? See, I think that, you know, it's there's many, many times when this predictive programming kind of stuff happens where they show you a premise or they show you an idea or a reality, but they try to couch it as fictional.
Yeah.
And they try to make it look like, you know, oh, ha, 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 isn't this cool or weird or fictional, you know, Star Wars stuff. And yet at the same time, what they actually are showing you is a hint of a reality. Like, for example, how does a meteor or an asteroid work in this, with this hedge?
Yeah.
Does something come zooming through and penetrate through from the other side and enter our realm? I mean, they say that the world was destroyed once almost because of an asteroid that hit and killed all the dinosaurs and yada yada, right? So, but in our personal lifetimes, in our historical lifetimes, we've had these fears and warnings of asteroids coming from outside and hitting us and destroying us. But it's actually never happened. But oh boy, we've been close a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from? Why would they make those stories up if this hedge, you don't get out and you don't come in? There is no matter on the other side that can come through this thing like an asteroid. And
yeah, well, it talks about in the end times, fearsome sights and men's hearts failing them for fear. So, but you're not afraid of something you can't see to that level where you literally have a heart attack by what you're seeing. There'd be fearsome, you know, signs. So I don't think we've seen anything near that level yet.
Right.
Or else we'd all know it. Everybody would be on the same page.
Right.
You know?
Well, like some of the prophecy, all of the prophecy of Revelation is, you know, people have been questioning for eons whether it's allegorical or literal or whatever, and some beast rises up out of the ocean and it's got 10 heads and 10 horns and whatever.
Well, he probably actually did see that imagery, but the imagery was symbolic of something. Maybe some things were literal, like they saw the a lampstand with seven candles and the seven candlesticks. And the seven candlesticks were the seven churches. So,
but that's somebody's idea of what that means. That,
well, it actually says in the book of Revelation that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches.
Oh, okay.
It interprets itself there. But I'm saying,
but how many people have tried to interpret the beast with the ten, you know, and that this is this country and this state?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And they do it with such finality.
So what difference would that vision or dream be versus the one you had?
Well, because my goal wasn't to share this with the world and create a new line of thinking based on it. This is just for me.
Okay.
And, you know, he asked me to talk about it do a little recording. So,
What about, and this really is my last question. What about, when you saw the wall, and you saw this hedge. And I understand that you were like watching a video, you said, or you were sitting in a theater watching a big screen. Did you see the ground? Did you see a floor?
No.
Okay. So you were seeing the wall from a floating position?
Yes.
And there was no floor?
No.
So you were suspended high enough and close enough to the wall that you didn't look down and you didn't look up?
Yep.
All right. So was down as far away as up seemed to be?
No.
No.
No, I had the feeling that up was just
way astronomical,
but that the ground was down there. There was ground down there.
Okay. And the wall went to the ground, you felt?
I felt it did, yeah.
Okay. And did you feel like it went below the ground?
No. Only went to the ground.
Okay.
That's how I felt.
Okay, so in other words,
not that it didn't exist, but there was no way for me to
there's no way for you to know what happened below ground.
Right.
Like the wall would go below ground and what we call hell would be inside our little realm.
Yeah, that wasn't even a factor, didn't come into it, cross my mind.
So that wasn't the importance of the vision.
No.
Or the dream.
The dream, no.
Was not what's going on below.
No.
Or above. But straight out there.
Yeah.
Inside of it.
Yeah, we can get...
The focus was on what's going on inside that...
That place on the edge.
That place on the edge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it didn't just drop off. It becomes this feel.
Do you have any feeling of the thickness? Was the thickness of it in relation to the down and the up and what was going out to the sides? The actual thickness of the wall?
It wasn't anywhere near. It wasn't that thick.
It wasn't that thick.
No.
So, like I said, the wax wall inside of a honeycomb that separates this honeycomb or this honey hexagon from that honey hexagon next door is pretty thin?
Yeah, it was pretty thin. I mean, it was pretty thin in relation. I mean, if you looked at a house and you looked at the length of the house, I would say the... And you looked at the wall as being measured against the length of a ranch.
The ranch-style house.
Ranch-style house, yeah. Okay. I would say it would be from the end back in towards the middle, maybe like one-sixth the size.
Okay, so thick walls, but not so thick that you wouldn't feel like you couldn't see the other side.
Yeah.
So the darkness on the other side was perceived to be not that far away.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was like not that. But it wasn't just like it was darkness. It was like that it was just something that, I mean.
You had no understanding of.
Yeah, and it would just totally, I mean, if you went like through it, you would like be like dissolved into
in
nothing.
In the dark. Yeah. The feeling of in the dark. You could be in the dark in a room the size of a 4x8 foot sheet of plywood, but if it was so dark, you wouldn't know that you were in a 4x8 room.
I mean, this
versus a 4 billion by 4 billion room.
Yeah, I mean, this place is so big where we live. It would seem to me that in relation to that you would have to strive to get to that wall. It wouldn't be easy
to get to the wall.
To get to that. Oh, yeah. And between where we stop living, and this is just me now, and the distance traversed, nothing lives there. Nothing human, anyway. Nothing.
Okay, so you said you felt this was in the north.
The part that I saw was in the north.
In the north.
I really felt that.
And
yeah.
So then, in other words, you're saying you would, if you went north and just kept going north and going north and going north, that you would go north for a. Past in your mind what we consider the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
Like that's not even there.
I don't know. I that would be just guessing, but...
Okay, so you wouldn't go across the Arctic Circle and keep going till you came out the other side down to the Antarctic. That's the end at the north. That's a wall is out there somewhere. You just have to keep going.
Keep on going, yep.
And nothing is between there but ice and ice and ice and ice and more ice.
I would assume that, yeah.
But you didn't feel ice.
You didn't feel cold. No.
So cold had nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
And you didn't feel it was cold on the other side.
Nope.
You didn't feel anything about temperature.
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks for
being here.
Going through that exercise with me.
It was only like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I said it was going to be about 10 minutes, but I think I lied. Or I think I didn't know where it would take us. So anyway, thank you. And I think we'll probably make a podcast out of this and just put it out there and see what happens.
All right.
We can do it anonymously if you want, but I don't think so. I think just let her go. Just let it happen and see what happens.
Okay.
People can just, you know, go, yeah, right, guy had a dream and you guys belabored the hell out of it. or wow, that goes with something I know about or I've had a vision or a dream about. And then maybe we'll put this on the website and then somebody will be able to contact us and say, you know, here's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. And that $4 could get us nice coffee.
No, so. Yeah. Well, that isn't going to get us a nice coffee. That's just maybe going to get us a cheap coffee. So,
all right.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. Bye.